It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing to be afraid of. But we're just informed. Need to know more about what's going on here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, in Phoenix, Arizona, IA. Well, coming in today is Michael Badnarik. Michael Badnarik was the 2004 presidential nominee for the Libertarian Party, and he's been traveling the country for quite some time just sharing some truth, sharing some information, You know, and he does a constitutional class, is what he's going to be doing this weekend. And, you know, it's popular, and I'm glad he's coming. He's probably going to be staying with Donna and I. They're still working out, doing it. It looks like we have less babies and a room, and he was going to stay with someone, but got grandkids staying over, so, you know, maybe he'll come over and stay at our home. So we got it all set up for him. Maybe we'll have some fundraiser for Barry running for governor as a Libertarian here in Arizona. So I think Michael will help with that. He knows Barry well. And they were both nomination speeches for me when I was running for national chair. And it was a really good, you know, that would be a good thing to play. Because it was Ernie's shortest speech ever. Three words. That's all I got to say, because everybody went long, you know, but it was really good. And it was started off with Tony Wall from Tennessee. He was a state chair there. And we just got some bad news. There was a gentleman named Fred Childress that was an activist there. And a friend of ours, Glenn Jacobs, which is also known as Kane, WWE. He's like 6'9" or something. He's a big guy, but just a teddy bear. My wife loves him, and he's just an enormously intelligent, well-read libertarian. In fact, he did do his own radio program that had a podcast called Citizen X, The Adventures of Citizen X, and Barry Hess and I would help co-host with him for some time years ago, and he's a really good libertarian. In fact, there was another wrestler goes by Val Venus, which his real name is Sean Morley, that lives in Ahwatukee here in Phoenix. And he did video endorsements for Barry. And these guys just come out of the woodwork, you know, when you're out there on the front lines as libertarians and so on. You go, hey, man, I'm a libertarian. What can I do to help? And these guys have armies of roadies. I mean, these young men that are just, you know, pile drive them, you know, from the top rope. I mean, you know, just they have a lot of fun. And for my birthday this last March, you know, what did I want to do for my birthday? Well, we went down, a bunch of us, for my birthday, we met down at the America West Arena where the Suns play. And at the big arena, they had a big WWE event, and we all went out with signs that said, "Cane me! I want to get caned. You know, we love Cane, Cane Revolution," all kinds of stuff like that. So just as for grins and giggles for him. And it was, if we ever, you know, there'll be a time, you never know, we might, you know, just invade. He comes up again that, in fact, at that time, he was in Las Vegas, but we want to go to these events and just be big, giant, freaking fans for a libertarian. It's like, what the heck? Why the revolution hit? Because he's a libertarian. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are in support from behind, and celebrities and so on. We have a little bit from Drew Carey, you know, today that we'll play. Now I'll give you a, you know, a little view behind the scenes of who's in support.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, little Doobie Brothers always makes you feel better. Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, we're having some good times this weekend. Yeah, Michael Bednarik's coming. You know, that's one thing I'll do for you today. You know, I'm in such a dark mood of so much stuff going on, and it was, I think it was from a lack of sleep. I was up all night watching Firefly. You know, we'll talk about that series sometime. It's such a really, really, really good series. And it was on Fox, and they made like 13 episodes. I think they only showed 10 or 11, and they canceled it. And everybody was like, what the heck was that? And it was so popular with, if it was not enough people, or it certainly wasn't from a lack of enthusiasm. And what happened was, you know, let me tell you this story. We got a bunch of stuff. You know, this is what we're going to do today, okay? There is, since it's just me and you, I'll go ahead and share, and, you know, you learn something by the end of the day. That's what you're going to learn. There are a lot of celebrities. You know, we have Drew Carey as a comedian and works with Reason Magazine doing different things. And then we'll kind of get, you know, what their bent is. Then we have in the world of sports and the world of entertainment and the world, there are a lot of people in support of libertarian philosophy that's been around for a long time, but they don't get any attention, unless they're big, giant guys. I mean, you have like Kurt Russell and Clint Eastwood and so on, but they never want to talk about their politics, so a lot of times they'll do it in their movies. Certainly Clint Eastwood. He's like, hey, man, you know what? I'm Clint Eastwood. I can do what I want. But, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, maybe you'd have, you know, Tom Cruise will get criticized for his Scientology or something. Well, they really isn't a lot of criticism for someone for their libertarianism because they don't want to get into the debate. You know, maybe Scientology, they'll go, ah, ha, ha, you're, you know, whatever criticism they can have, or whether you're Mormon, or whether you're Christian, or Islamic, or whatever, they can, you know, but you never hear the lamestream media, or the entertainment industry, and then going after for the libertarianism. You know, like Tom Selleck, you know, he comes out, he'd be all freedom-oriented, libertarian kind of something, and they're like, oh, no, it's better just to ignore them, or not give them a platform for their career. You'll see years will go by before they get another job, or they'll do, you know, it's just that is how it works. So I'm going, okay, you know, so I did a compilation one time, and they do it out of Advocates for Self-Government is a group that's been around for decades. And Advocates for Self-Government is a training organization. I mean, it's a lot of people come out of that. It's kind of, you know, like you have Toastmasters. People will learn how to speak, you know, and give presentations and how to engage people. And there's a method by which how you give a speech and the research you do and the presentation and the timing and all that kind of stuff. And you had the same kind of thing, except instead of just telling funny stories or doing, it's all libertarians, how to present, you know, information on how to live, on the philosophy, on how to engage other people without pushing them away. Because a lot of times, you know, if you're around, it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, are you the black sheep? Are you the one that's, oh, no, Fred's here. All we're going to hear about is the Illuminati or whatever, okay? Well, it's in my situation, I go family and friend. You know, certain, it's not as much anymore. Now they're always asking 15 gazillion questions after you prove to be right over years. But I didn't engage them in such a way that they were putting sandbags up. Because when you talk to someone, and that's what the power of celebrities are, you know, they can, you know, okay, I'll give you 10 seconds, go. All right, you're boring me and I got legs and you just walk away. Or, all right, well, why do they do that? If you can engage them well and rationally give the positions that you have that in a way that you can understand, not necessarily whether you agree with them or not, at least understand why they believe it. Or, you know, oh, they're mistaken because they don't know what I know here and, you know, whatever. Time goes on. The government will keep recruiting libertarians. I just always count on that. You know, they're neon flashing, obvious cheerleaders for less government. You know, who's a big cheerleader for less government? Government. Because, man, they just screw it up. So you have an opportunity whenever you talk to people is that, I give you an example, you go to schools. You know, as officers in the party and all that kind of stuff, we get requests to go. When I was county chairman and everything, hey, we need somebody to come speak to this school and do an hour, whatever, or each class for the entire day of some fifth graders or eighth graders or 11th graders or whatever. So you go, all right, fine. You got 40 minutes maybe, you know, of actual time with them. So what do you say? What do you do? How do you keep them engaged? What word pictures do you use? How do you, you know, you got to be perceived as not lying. And that's why they stopped inviting probably mid-90s, they would invite, you know, Republican, Democrats, and Libertarians. And then, you know, the years later, you know, they just stopped inviting the Democrats and Republicans. I mean, where you'll have the League of Women Voters or whatever they'll have, everybody but the Libertarians, you know. But here in Arizona, we've been pretty good because we're real buttheads and they invite us. But what happens in the schools, they just kind of, you know, they, because they are and D's just liars. I mean, they're just, you know, propaganda. They never say anything. And these kids, they want to add. They know after the third time of asking the same question in a different way and they still don't get an answer, you know, evasion's lying as far as they're concerned. So we get invited back, we'd answer the question. You know, maybe not the answer you wanted, but let me tell you why I said that. And this, okay, is there something wrong with the logic there? Nope, okay, so it's all good. When you talk to someone, are you the one that just goes right to the end and beats them into the ground and creates an enemy? Do they start getting deeper? They dig their foxhole a little deeper and they start putting sandbags around the rim, okay? They got a berm right there, sandbags, you know, one more layer of sandbag, a little bit more sandbag, all of a sudden they're in a well. You know, or are you just handing them, you know, little platforms to stand up and get out of their foxhole? It's all a matter of perspective. Are you there to build your self-esteem or ego or whatever, or are you there to help them out of the hole? You know, it's the way you look at it and the way you approach it makes your attitude and the way you're perceived totally different. Well, the successful celebrities that do this, all they get is just, you know, 10, 30 seconds more of attention to say something right off the bat. That's the only advantage that they get. Then it gets to where, you know, maybe in the future say, well, so-and-so said, okay, or I heard, I mean, after a certain amount of time, they don't even credit who said it. They like what was said, and they'll just repeat it. I get so many people over the years, even before I started doing radio, that's in the 90s, we're out campaigning, we're saying blah, blah, blah is going to happen, this is why, and you and yourself, and whatever, and so on. They come back, and they'll go, hey, did you ever hear about, did you know, and all of a sudden, they're hardcore libertarian, as if it was their idea. It originated from them, because it did. All you did was plant the seed, the inception of an idea. That's why I'm going to be using that movie a lot when we, you know, finally get the DVD or the pirated version of the MP3 of the sound or something, which has already been offered to me, by the way. But what happens is you take this planting of an idea and it grows on its own. If you plant it deep enough, if you plant it, certainly when you're experiencing all kinds of things in your own life and you're asking why. It's when you start asking questions that you're really waiting for an answer. You know, a lot of times we're just looking for a reaffirmation of an answer that we already think we know. We just want somebody to repeat it for us. We go looking for it. I get a call from an old activist, a good friend of mine. He's a doctor. It's now in Wyoming. And he says, Ernie, there's a contact for, oh, I can't remember what it was, the reconstitution version of restore the constitution dot whatever. Okay, I mean, it's just the next version. I've seen these over and over and over. Well, there's a guy there. I'm past that, man. We're so much further past that. It's just a plantation. They just want to, you know, whitewash the fence out front and redo the facade on the front. We're going to get back in on the plantation, get back to work. You know, this is going to be a reboot. I get it. You know, it doesn't change anything, you know, not fundamentally. So we go back at it back and forth, and he's like, wow, man, you know, every time I talk to you, Ernie, you're just, you know, I go, look, man, when was it ever different? His circumstances change. His circumstances are different. He is starting to see more and more and more and more and more. In a part of Wyoming where he's at, they have a lot of development in natural resources, you know, in gas and oil and this kind of stuff. They're not feeling the pinch as much. They're not willing to kind of learn. They're just going out and boating and doing their RVing and all. I'm like, good. That's what you should be doing. That was the whole freaking point of this country. What are you going to do? Say, stop doing it? You know, you got to get more fundamental, you know, down to the base. So when something does happen, they understand. That's what celebrities are able to do. If their mission is to plant a seed, what seed? Well, we're going to listen to some of these guys who's, you know, been saying a lot of the same things that I do. Just maybe you might listen to them.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, where we're, you know, being influenced by others that have the ability to influence, and who might those people be? Well, you know, there's a lot of people. There's one thing that I didn't have an appreciation for. I mean, I knew it was, you know, it's all flash and bang and so on. The WWE worldwide, you know, wrestling, entertainment, whatever the heck it is. And these guys are rock stars. You go, they got Raw and they got this, they got that, they got different levels. They tour the world. They are on the road constantly. Heck, they're constantly injured. And they are big auditorium. They hear. Just a couple of months, it was March. Into March, April, they filled America West Arena and filled the Cardinal Football Stadium. Sold out. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. You know, within a couple of days of each other, they're filling out both of these. These things are huge. And it's a big party. It's just, yeah, they know it's kind of choreographed. I mean, come on, you know. But, I mean, yeah, I don't care. You know, you're doing a double backflip, gainer spin, slapping on somebody on, you know, the mat from the top rope kind of whatever. I don't care if you got it planned or not. I mean, dang. You know, these guys are definitely athletes and put on a good show. Well, one of the guys, Kane and Val Venus, they're Sean Morley and Glenn Jacobs is Kane. You know, we've become good friends with these guys because they're libertarian. They just want to, what can we do to help? What can we do? Well, one of the things was Kane came to Barry. I think this is the 06 election. I'm just going to play. It's just 1 minute. You know, he's wanting to, you know, share his position on this whole libertarian thing in politics.
Hi, my name's Sean Morley. You may know me as World Wrestling Entertainment's Val Venus. As a dedicated, freedom-loving libertarian, I am proud and honored to endorse Libertarian candidate Barry Hess in his quest to become the governor of Arizona. If you're looking for an end to wasteful government spending, if you're looking for real, meaningful tax cuts that allow you, the all-important voter, to keep more of what you earn, allowing businesses to expand and grow and create more jobs and more prosperity here in the great state of Arizona, if you're looking for a more competitive and effective educational system that allows parents much more in the way of choice, if you're looking to improve on what is already the greatest healthcare system in the world by letting the free market do its work, if you are looking for real border security, then you need look no further than libertarian candidate for the governor of Arizona, Barry Hess.
So these guys, you know, they want to make their mark. Well, what happened was you had Glenn Jacobs, very well-read guy, and I mean, an intelligent guy. He can do his own talk show. He goes around, gives speeches. You know, I'd love for him to be able to come to Arizona for this year's Freedom Summit. And that reminds me, I was supposed to call him. I got to deal with that. And what he did is just asking questions and making comments in the locker room and going. And what was interesting is Meredith Whitney used to be with Oppenheimer, you know, which is an investment firm and so on. She was the one that kept track of all of the banks and what they were doing with their cash and how the money was being spent and what they were making and why and what they weren't and what was coming in the subprime and all that stuff. She's up there on CNBC and Fox and everybody, and she's going, look, you guys blah, blah, blah all you want. This is going to come down. It's going to come down hard. It's going to come down bad. It's going to come down soon, and it's going to do it for these reasons. Oh, no, heck no. Oh, that could never happen. And we have a clip from Jim Rogers today. He was saying the same thing at the time, and now he's up there today. He's on CNBC going, you guys are just cheerleaders. Oh, the perfect cheer. We're going to try and keep stocks up and so on. He goes, you guys are part of the problem. Heck, you are a problem. You know, you're just perpetuating this crap. You're just lying to people. You know, we'll play that a little later. Well, Meredith, she didn't pull any punches. You know, people like her and Peter Schiff and Jim Rogers, they're up there. You know, they have them up a limited amount of time. Dr. Paul during the 08 campaign and after. They would never give these guys any – they put them up there just to make fun of them and go, ah, ha, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And then it happened. Well, Meredith Whitney, her husband, was one of the wrestlers. He called him the millionaire wrestler or whatever the heck or something like that. I can't remember his name, but he's one of the pretty boys up there. Meredith is his wife. So you think he doesn't know what was coming? So these guys, you know, in the locker room, they're out there, hey, I'm gonna kick your butt and everything, doing the Jesse Ventura thing, you know. He was a previous generation. But, you know, then afterwards they're talking, oh, and Austrian economics and this and that and, you know, and highbrow, philosophical, whatever. Talking politics, economics. Then Val Venus, which is Sean Morley, goes to Glenn. He's going, look, man, he goes, I know what your problem is. You're trying to reconcile all this stuff, and you can't. It's not a conservative, liberal, left-right thing. There's a principle involved. It's a liberty deal. You need to check out this libertarian thing before you go freaking crazy. So he did. Over a year or two, he starts researching. He's going, holy crap, as a lot of people do. It is consistent. When we come back, Glenn Jacobs did an interview with Gary Franchi on realityreport.tv, and we'll just play a couple of clips from that, and you'll get it. Same stuff you've been hearing here. This is penetrating even into a market that has gazillions of young men supporting them.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. And you do not need a government form. You can just do it on your own. I declare my independence. That's how it works. And a lot of times, you know, there are some people that, you know, get listened to more than others. That's why this celebrity endorsement thing is, you know, such a big deal to a lot of people and selling products. Well, I guess freedom is a product. You know, it's better than, I don't know, some of the other products offered. I can't think of anyone that's better. You guys let me know which one's better than freedom, and you let me know. We'll talk about it. And so we have a lot of these guys, and there's others. There's movie stars and so on. But the reason I focused on this worldwide wrestling thing is because it surprised me. It was something that I did not anticipate. There was such an overlap of kind of this freedom-oriented prison planet, Alex Jones, libertarian, Ron Paul revolution, freedom to fascism kind of thing. It was already kind of ingrained in that culture, and that because it was young men. And you'll go, it'll be families and they're, you know, a little 7-year-old kid wearing their, you know, worldwide champion belt and stuff and got their little masks on and everything going, they're just having fun. Right? It's entertainment. You know, let it go. It's that, you know, so what? You know, having a good time. And they put on a show, man, a lot of pyrotech. It's like a rock concert. You know, got scantily clad women going around and stuff and doing it. It's just fun. But, man, it's definitely a male thing. So I'm going, okay, this is cool. We went to one of the shows at America West Arena here a couple of years ago, and Barry became good friends with Sean and Glenn, and they get him tickets every now and then. And then we got to be friends with Glenn and go meet him when he comes into town. We have dinner and stuff and bring. And it's amazing how many people know who he is. I'll give you an example. We went out to dinner. Yeah, we're going out to dinner with, you know, our friend Glenn. You know, so. And then I said, yeah, he's a wrestler. Oh, yeah, which one? He's Kane. My son-in-law, oh, my God, can I go? I want to go. And he and my daughter went to dinner with us. He's getting pictures with him and sending them to his friends back in Pennsylvania and everything. I mean, they grew up on this. I'm going, wow, really? A couple months ago when he was here, we went to a thing. It's an anarchist meetup thing a friend of mine has. And he's like, yeah, come on, you know. And we had made plans that Don and I were going to go to the bar. And we just, you know, you have happy hour, a little sandwich or something. You go home and just kind of meet. And as a matter of fact, they had one last night, and I couldn't make it. But Glenn was in town. I said, hey, you know, here's some of the guys. Let's go. We'll just go meet them and see what's up. We go and sit down, and these guys are like early 30s, you know, late 20s or so. And they knew who he was immediately. They were like, "Oh my God, it's Kane! Wow!" You know. And so he sat down and talked to him, and you know, some autographs and such like that. I had no idea this was so popular. In, you know, young men in their younger ages, that they at least are aware of these. You know, because it's a YouTube thing, too. I mean, there'll be some great move that they'll do, top of the rope, kind of throwing somebody out, and it'll get, you know, 2 million hits, you know, that kind of crap. So I just like, wow, man, rock star. So we, you know, go out and have a good time, and he enjoys it. He's nice about it. And the guys, they're not too invasive, you know. They just come over and want, so it's all fun. Well, he uses all these opportunities to talk politics. Certainly you're in kind of a political environment anyway, so he'll take the time to, you know, give his position on stuff. What I did not realize is that, you know, until a couple of years ago, he has his own blog that, and he writes on Freedom's Phoenix every now and then. You'll see some Glenn Jacobs, that's Kane, okay? Or Kane is Glenn Jacobs, but he has some really good stuff. In fact, he had something up yesterday. He's the one that put up about Fred Childress dying, a good friend of ours, that to the movement, of course, out of Tennessee, that he used to own a restaurant that Glenn would go to and started talking to him because he lives in Tennessee. And he would start going to the restaurant. They'd start getting talk, find out that they're both libertarian. And Fred got really involved. He was more on the political side, actually running for office, helping different things and so on. And the restaurant with the government, and it just got him, you know, I had a restaurant. You want to get a version of the government and have a restaurant. And so finally he sold that and then kept all his equipment and put it in storage. And he was thinking of, you know, doing it again. And I was just talking to him a few months ago, and he went on a solo bike tour, motorcycle tour around the country, and he was coming back to Tennessee. He was in Montana, and we're not really sure what happened, but he was in an accident and he was killed, you know, right at the on the scene, man, boom, you know, motorcycles and speed doesn't go together almost at any speed. So He passed away, and we were just all, wow, that kind of shocked us. And Tony Wall, the state chair at the time or before in Tennessee, you know, had it announced on other places too. And he was one of the nominating speeches for me running for national chair. And this is kind of what brought me onto this line of thought. And Tennessee had its own kind of activist thing. But what was different, and Glenn was there, and he was involved in that. And Tony Wall is a real hardcore guy, and Fred Childress was a hardcore guy. And a lot of people, you know, I had a lot of support for a lot of stuff that we do out of Tennessee. And I'll tell you, the reason is because Tennessee does not allow for libertarians to register to vote. There is no Libertarian Party there. You have to run as an independent. It's illegal. Really? So you can imagine if you don't have this, I mean, you still have the Libertarian Party, Libertarian Organization, Libertarian whatever, you know, but you're not able to run as a Libertarian online on the ballot. Well, that's all kinds of lawsuits. It goes back. They're still in the middle of all that. This has been going on for a long time. But what it does is it frees you up. It frees you. You're not worried about, you know, having, you know, Libertarians getting elected, is there? Because you can't. You know, you can sit there and complain all you want, but what it does is it frees you up to be activist. It frees you up to go ahead and educate on libertarianism. It frees you up to work on changing the culture. It frees you up, and instead of this, you know, worrying about how many votes you're going to get or how much coverage you get or how much, you know, I mean, all this stuff, all of a sudden they really embrace the love-olution because it represented the means by which they could express themselves in outside of the traditional channels. So it exploded in Tennessee. This is just one of the examples I try and give all the time. I'm going, look, all of this stuff that we have on the controls that it's used through the process, that is a detriment. It doesn't free you. It doesn't give you an opportunity for you to be able to express yourself as you normally would without some kind of licensing or control. You see what I mean? So this is what's happening. The reason I was so interested in what was going on with Glenn is because he represented a very large market of young minds ready to be freed. They were already rebel challenging the man already anyway. You know, this is, they're gimme, 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 gimme. Then you have someone that can get their attention and you get things like this.
It was probably about 2000 when I started looking for a different way. I'd always been one of those people that couldn't quite be pigeonholed because I was a fiscal conservative, but I didn't care what people did in their personal lives so long as it didn't affect me or didn't affect other people. And a friend of mine told me about libertarianism and how the political spectrum is actually a diamond instead of just a straight line back and forth. And it took me a couple years to begin to grasp that, but over time, I started to realize that I had always been trying to put myself on this line of being a Republican or a Democrat, a conservative or a liberal, when I was on a different line, and I thought that people should be free to do what they wanted so long as they're not hurting other people.
Well, isn't that special? So now,
well, for people that are new to libertarianism and the philosophy, essentially what it means is people should be free to live their lives so long as they're not infringing on the liberty of other people and not hurting other people. And also they need to take responsibility for their lives. In other words, you're free to live your life, but if you make a mess of it, you're the person that should have to clean it up, and you shouldn't be asking other people or forcing other people. You can ask other people, but you shouldn't be forcing other people to do that. And that's what we do when government gets involved. Most people don't realize that the way that government operates is it always uses force to try to achieve its objectives. And libertarians believe in using voluntary means as much as possible.
So imagine, you're 13 years old. Man, you're filled with hormones. You're ready to go, oh, let's go crush some bones. You know, you're in WWE and you got a fan. Kane represents the big dog. You know, he's one of the big guys. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there being rational and reasoned, and he's saying, hey, you can do whatever you want as long as you're not bothering anybody. An inception of an idea, the seed that gets planted in a young mind from someone that they admire, telling them, look, it's really simple. Thou shalt not aggress. What kind of impact does that have at a time with the right person that's questioning authority, that's all filled up with testosterone, that's all worked up and everything, and they have, and they go and start following these guys on their blogs. Valvina, Sean Morley, Kane, Glenn Jacobs. He has a blog called Adventures of Citizen X. He does radio podcasts, he writes articles, he writes on Freedom's Phoenix. In fact, he had something up last couple of days. And what he does is has an impact. What kind of seed does it start? You know, a little Facebook, a Twitter, all of a sudden he has, you know, tens of thousands of people that follow him on Facebook, Twitter, whatever, and boom, he puts out one little line of something. Seed. This is the importance that these people have. Well, how we got on this, you know, endorsement and people coming in and helping and being an influence to a lot of people is we started talking about this. He doesn't know it. It was from Michael Badnarik this morning. He just walked in. He got in. Go ahead and hit line two on there and turn it up to mine, the second one. Red, slide it up. Go ahead and come on in, Michael. Michael Badnarik is here, and we're going to try and use and abuse him here over the next couple of days, and we'll see what we can get him. Go ahead and tell us what you're doing. You got headphones there somewhere?
I do.
You got to take the cowboy hat off. Well, Michael's visiting Arizona, and he's here to, you know, do his class. So go ahead and tell us what you're doing here. Did you just get in?
I just got in. I've been away from the airport for less than 20 minutes.
So Ed Vallejo picked you up, and he brought you down here?
Straight line.
Yeah, of course, everyone thinks you can just walk in the studio. Hey, we're here. Start the show. And I'm like, you know, I just want to, oh. So anyway, so you're here, and tell us what your plans are for this weekend.
My plans are to light the fires of liberty, to hang out with my buddy Ernie and Ed, and to teach a Constitution class on Saturday, 8 hours long, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., 1 hour lunch break. Everything you ever want to know about the Constitution, but didn't even know that you were supposed to ask.
I already know enough. I'm good. I'm like, it's got a gun pointed at me. Next. You know, the one thing that I was hoping this week, we're going to have a party. You know that, right?
Yes, I
okay.
do.
Yeah, you know. Well, we had Gary. We had a party Friday for him, and everybody just came over, he goes, yeah, we're going to be doing beer and shots. You know, we're just going to, you know, have us a good time. He had a bottle of Jaeger, or what do they call it?
Jaegermeister?
Yeah, Jaegermeister. That's what it was. You know, by all of a sudden, he comes out, he's in there just doing shots. He's coming out back and everything. He grabs a megaphone, and he starts, you know, doing his little shtick with a megaphone. I'm like, hey, man, it's 11 o'clock, and I got neighbors, you know. You're just guaranteeing calling the cops. So we got to you know, see the real Gary for a while. But he had a lot of fun, a good time, and maybe we'll have an opportunity we can go out and do some of the stuff that we did, because we went to out to Ben Avery shooting range, and he's from Chicago, so he's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe all the guns. Every time I turn around, there's somebody wearing a gun. So we took out all, you know, everybody contributed. So we got, you know, 308 Fals and 30-06 hunting rifles and AR-15s and revolvers and handguns and 10-22s.
Was he catatonic? Did he just go over the top? He was so excited, or what?
I tell you what his favorite is the Fal.
Really?
The 308 semi-automatic battle rifle. You know, that thing, that's a reach out and touch someone, none shall pass gun, you know. So I think that was his favorite. And, you know, so we'll try and get an opportunity to go out. Hopefully the weather's not going to be too hot today. It's not so bad. But I'm really looking forward to just spending some time with you, you know, this week.
Oh, absolutely.
And you get
yeah.
to see the kind of stuff that we do. This is your first time here at Free
This is my first time here, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of impressive walking in.
Yes, it is.
You
yeah.
go, oh, this guy's got it going on. You haven't even seen all of it yet.
I've always tell people that you've got it going on.
There is a lot that we can learn from you, too. Because this is, you tell me about what was your first concentration on the Constitution and why. What got you, all of a sudden, you pop out of nowhere running as a libertarian for the nomination, and all of a sudden you become the presidential nominee. How'd that happen? Where'd you come from?
Well, back in 1982, my company sent me to Pennsylvania to work on a nuclear control room simulator, $6 million computer game, and I was in charge. And I was doing my computer stuff, and all of a sudden at the end of the year, all of my per diem became taxable income, and I had a, well, unpleasant experience with the IRS. So I started studying the IRS, the 16th Amendment, the Bill of Rights, Constitution, and quickly came to the conclusion that, well, most of what our government does is unconstitutional. That is not right. So over the course of time, some friends of mine in Austin said, they called me on the phone, said, we want you to run for president. I said, president of what? He said, president of the United States. I said, are you out of your mind? But I decided that that would give me an opportunity to tell people about the Constitution, get people fired up. And I'm a good speaker, and I figured that whoever I talk to is going to vote for the libertarian nominee, whoever the delegates choose. I didn't think it was going to be me. In fact, Gary Nolan and I are constantly arguing about which one of us was more surprised.
Yeah, well, you were also running against, at the time, it was Aaron Russo.
Aaron Russo, yeah.
That later, because he did lose to you, he went and did America from Freedom and Fascism, so everybody made out.
Everybody made
you
out.
Know, so we'll talk about it more and get some history, and I'll try and squeeze in some of the stuff that I was doing here along with Michael. We're going to spend some time together with you in just a little bit. You stay right there.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Hello, hello. I'm sorry. We missed the time. We're out playing. Michael, I just gave you a little quickie tour here. What do you think, man?
I'm blown away. This is just incredible. You got it going on. This is no wonder Arizona is so free.
We have such an opportunity that what we have done is we've been able to make sure that people have the ability to express themselves without direction. That's the secret. See, I always think everybody goes, well, if we could get every libertarian to give $5 and every libertarian 5 minutes and every libertarian to do whatever the Central Committee decides, their five-year plan,
right.
Okay, then it would all be better. And I'm going, no, it doesn't work that way. You know, I mean, we create a facility here. We try and have, you know, I'll tell you, this is the pain that I have to deal with. You know, finally, we have a 6-head silk screening t-shirt machine over there and the dryer and all kinds of stuff. I come in this morning, I see Shelton 4409 is making some 4409 shirts. He's like, you know, shows and puts them on the table by my office going, look what I did, you know, ain't it cool? And I go over and I see, you know, the ink's still on the squeegee. You know, his screen is going to be clogged. You know? It's kind of, I'm going, you know, I have, what, you know, whatever. You know,
you want me to talk to him about responsibility?
No, like he hasn't been talked to. You know, this is so typical of him. So the thing is that we have to put up with this kind of stuff. All right, fine. Then you just bought a squeegee. All right, give me the money.
Yeah.
So this is, you multiply that times, you know, dozens of people. And it's like I'm a constant maid, all right? So we do everything that we can to try and keep everything ready for everybody. And then we you got to have some kind of limits on something, because all of a sudden yesterday, we doing a video, and I'll tell you this. You remember the Motorhome Diary guys?
I do.
They're doing a tour now of their RV called MARV. I can't remember what it stands for, Mobile Assault Recreational Vehicle or something. I don't know what it is. But they MARV is a big RV. They repainted it, and they're putting up new logos like NASCAR. Okay, they got, you know, endorsements. And I go, man, I'm going to own that thing. I want on the right side. I want on the left side. I want on the refrigerator. I want on the wall. I want on the freezer door. You know, so we have a bunch of designs, and it's an ability to help them and get them money and sponsorship. But I know what's going to happen. They're going to tour the country, and we're going to supply them with materials that they pass out. Well, of course, it'll include, you know, Freedom's Phoenix stuff. They do their podcasts. You know, they get a lot of video of the RV. It's driving on the highway. We get a lot of Freedom's Phoenix. Cool. Not a problem. What happens, though, is that, you know, what do you give them? Well, we find a lot of things on the internet, like the Philosophy of Liberty animation. You know, you definitely want that on some DVD.
Yes.
You definitely want to have, like, Stefan Molyneux, you know, his thing about, you know, the Matrix and part 13 of, man, you're just on a farm, you know, so I definitely vote for that one. And, you know, a bunch of other stuff. Then we have, like, you know, a bonus reel that has just a bunch of, you know, different YouTubes and everything. Well, you know, to kind of bring it all together, why we were doing it, I need to use the video studio over here. Go in, I'm going to do my video thing. Well, hi, and, you know, blah, 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 and this is why we're going to go in there. Can't find my lapel microphone. It's gone. I know who took it. You know, we were using it for you, yeah, but did you put it back? Is it where when I need it, that one time out of, you know, 2 months or something, I got to have it right, not later, is it there? No, it's not. Guess what? It goes into the lock cabinet. Now nobody can ever use it again. I just got to spend $400 to get more lapel mics. So I'm just, you know, this is the situation I'm in. What is the benefit of that, though?
Well, the people are doing the things they love, and they'll continue to do it. They'll put their energy into it. And there's no right or wrong way to do free market. The reason that, you know, we don't have better vehicles and better energy is because the government has been subsidizing automobiles and gasoline for 100 years.
You have to have this freedom of expression. Let people do it. There are disadvantages to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the end, freedom's messy.
Yes,
it is. It's always better.
Yes.